This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. Parenting with passion.
And we're continuing our segment on teen parenting with Colette Smart from Family Smart. And this morning we're looking at teens and technology. Now, this is a relatively new challenge for parents, and the technology is changing so fast that it is really hard for parents to keep up, even with their child's mobile capabilities or what the latest social networking trend is. So Colette's here to help us through it all. Hi, Colette.
Hi, Katrina.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're getting quite famous, aren't you? You're on Today Tonight. Last night, I hear.
Yeah. That was an interesting experience for me. It was great, though.
Were you nervous?
I was, yes. Yeah, I was very nervous.
Okay.
It was fun.
Oh, that's good. Now, let's start off with talking about sexting, because this is getting a lot of press. I saw a really big feature article on this just a few weeks ago, and it's really getting kids into trouble, isn't it? Firstly, explain for us, what is sexting?
Well, sexting is kind of a mix between texting and sex, the two words. So it's sending images that involve kind of semi-nudity or nudity. Teenagers don't refer to it as sexting themselves. They call it a sexy image or a sexy present or a sexy picture.
So they take a photo of themselves, send it to their potential love interest.
Yes.
To try and live. It's quite degrading.
It's very worrying. I mean, really, what the kind of things that we're seeing all sorts of consequences in this. And I think young people very often do it impulsively, some of them, because we spoke two weeks ago about the brain structure and so on. And because the frontal lobe isn't fully developed, you get this impulsive type of behavior. So they don't think of the long-term consequences when they do things.
I still don't get why they do it, though.
Okay. So very often it can be peer pressure. So they can feel pressured by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I must say the boys are just as much the victims in this as the girls. Pressured to send a sexy present, or if you love me, you'll send me a picture of yourself and so on. And so things like that, or pressure from their friends to send something
so
across.
It's kind of just a trend in a way.
Yeah, it is a trend. Yeah. And then also kind of the flaunted culture that we see. Our teenagers see it all the time in the media. So
yes, I mean, I'm thinking of like the Paris Hiltons or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's made pop culture's become very exhibitionist, hasn't it?
Very much.
And I hate to sound like an old fogey, but I went out in the city on Saturday night. I was absolutely horrified at the way the girls were dressing. They had these tiny, tiny, tiny little skirts that barely covered their private parts.
Yeah.
So much cleavage, not even wearing stockings on a freezing cold winter night. You know, bare, everything hanging out. It was just, I was amazed.
And I think what we're seeing more and more is this immersion of a sexualized culture. Our children and even our parents are immersed in it, that we become so desensitized that we actually don't even notice it sometimes. And that's why I do my work with Collective Shout, because we're just standing up and going, we don't want this anymore. And so our children are exposed to billboards and clothing and adverts that, you know, just keep saying, flaunt your body, show who you are. Like Miley Cyrus, she teaches our girls, oh, when you grow up, what do? Take your clothes off. So that's what our teens are learning.
Oh, man. So what are, I guess, some of the negative, I guess, consequences of taking, sending, whatever, these kind of images?
Well, some of the immediate consequences, personally for some of the teens, are things like destruction of healthy sexual intimacy. So what it really means to be sexually intimate with a person. Mm. The objectification of women's bodies. So your body is what's worth anything, not really your skill or your brains and
it's terrible,
your intellect.
Isn't it?
And then girls trying to become this elusive fantasy porn star in a way. You know, it's sad.
It is. And there can be quite serious, like even legal consequences, can't there?
I mean, in New South Wales, for example, anything, any kind of image taken or sent, even if you send it willingly yourself, is classed as child abuse material if you are under 16. So any nude or semi-nude photograph, you can be charged with possessing child abuse material.
And one of the things I noticed in this article I read is that the responses to this sexting can be quite varied, can't they? Depending on the school, depending on the police in that state, or, you know, it can be very treated very seriously, or it can be almost dismissed. And
and that's the tough thing is you know, really getting parents and teachers and schools to realize the seriousness of this for teenagers, not getting jobs in the future, even not getting jobs in the almost immediate future, where, for example, teen boys may not be able to get a job as a under 16 football coach with young boys because they have been charged with child abuse material, jobs in Maccas and so on. You know, we're getting companies using other companies who specialize in being able to search your name on the internet, and they find whatever's out there.
Andrew Morris was talking about this in his technology thing, that they actually can do a social media audit of your life before they employ you. And if you've got these photos hanging around, or, you know, I mean even just, you know, your long-term future career.
Yes.
If you want to get in any way involved in public life, these things turn up later. It's deadly material, isn't it? So, yeah, I think. So how can parents kind of, I guess, deal with that issue? Is it a matter of, I mean, just talking about your kids with it, or should you be disabling the functions on their phone, or what do you do?
Oh, I think, you know, there's a whole lot of, it goes back to communication again. You know, obviously the issue is the smartphones that we have, but there is more and more technology out there now that can block certain things and monitor certain things. But it boils down to communication again, knowing what your teenagers are up to. So, yeah, we can talk about that a bit more in a minute.
Yeah, sure. We're doing Parenting with Passion. I'm talking with Colette Smart about kids and technology. We've been talking about sexting. Yep, it's quite scary. But the other big thing we need to talk about, of course, Colette, is cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. We discussed very briefly last week this case in the Hills District of a kid who tragically committed suicide after a dreadful spate of cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Just for people who aren't aware, what is it? What's cyberbullying?
Well, cyberbullying is, well, any type of bullying really is an imbalance of power. So when somebody lords it over somebody else, either physically, and in the case of cyberbullying, you know, they use their status or their popularity or, you know, anything like that to just act more powerful than the victim themselves.
So it's kind of nasty comments and things online.
Very much. And I just need to actually say from the outset that I'm not against technology at all. I mean, technology is an amazing tool. I have my own Facebook page. I have my business Facebook page. So this is not about anti-technology. Mm. It's actually about giving children boundaries, teaching them the boundaries, just like we do around a swimming pool. You know, we don't say, oh, water's dangerous, never ever go near it and never teach our children to swim.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to go, okay, there's boundaries, we put a fence, we teach you to swim. So we do that in cyberspace as well. So it's communicating with your kids about cyberbullying, what it is, what it looks like. Very much Facebook. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, well, are there different types of cyberbullying?
Yes.
Different ways
of
doing it?
So there's different types of cyberbullying. So there's the stalking type where, you know, that often happens where on pages, cyberspace such as Formspring, for example, where you don't have to leave your name. So you get all these anonymous messages and you come to school the next day and you don't know where all these mean messages came
terrible.
From. And it's kind of threatening and you feel a bit afraid. The harassment is just also when you get stacks and stacks of emails or inbox messages or Facebook messages that are just negative from a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
Then the outing is when you actually expose somebody else's personal story on Facebook or online.
Something that happened on Saturday night and you put on Facebook show a photo of them throwing up or something terrible.
And even you know, just general stuff. Oh, you know, Susie's mum's pregnant or whatever, and that's actually not your story to tell.
Yeah.
So it's telling somebody else's story. And then flaming is actually kind of a verbal or written war that goes on email or Facebook and so on.
Okay.
I shouldn't say email because teenagers think the email is for old people. So they don't really use email, actually. That's what they tell me.
Okay, sure. Wow. And so what kind of impact does this have on kids who are being a victim of this kind of cyberbullying?
Well, you start to see things like your child becoming unwilling to go to school. They feel a bit unwell. They might begin to fall behind in their schoolwork or homework. They might become disinterested in the computer. You know, more distressed or anxious or becoming more aggressive towards others, almost playing out the insecurities, mood swings, that kind of thing. When you start to see the whole package, not one-off things, but you see the whole package.
Okay. And what do you think teens can do to kind of protect themselves a bit against this?
What I say to teenagers when I talk to them is it's best not to respond at all. Tell a trusted adult or a mentor, somebody that you trust. Tell them what's going on if you feel unsafe. Block the offender. There's ways you can do that on Facebook. Save the evidence because they often get such a fright that they just want to delete everything. It's important, especially if it involves physical threats, because you need to go to the police with that printout.
Yes, yeah, I've heard a bit about that in the news today. I think the thing about Facebook is that it can be used safely. I mean, the whole idea of Facebook, as opposed to that one you mentioned, which was anonymous, it should be people you know and trust. Yes. And so one of the key things is who you let into your life on Facebook and teaching kids not to accept people that they don't trust. No. I guess peer pressure can come in again. They may feel they have to accept people.
Yeah. And being, I think we've got to mention that you should be over 13 to have Facebook, and teaching our children to obey the internet boundaries. You know, that's an important thing. Keeping current, keep up with your children. If they've got a Facebook page, get yourself a Facebook page, ask them to teach you about it. Almost have a cyber contract at home. Communicate with your children about what's going on with their friends on Facebook. Talk to them about their digital footprint that's going to be left in the future. And very importantly, don't threaten to ban your children's use, because the research shows that children will never come to you again if you've threatened to take away their technology. So it's important to be open and say, you know, let's chat about it. You can trust me. We'll talk about what you're struggling with.
Look, is it worth bargaining, though, and saying, well, look, you can stay on Facebook, but I need to know who these people are you're friends with? Or saying, you know, okay, you can stay on Facebook, but I want you to get off this other thing that's, you know.
Yes, I do, Katrina. And I think the important thing is to remember, I said it a few weeks ago, children don't need another adult best friend. They need a parent. We are our children's parents, and we've been put into that role for a reason. And so we need to be the parents and not, you know, just let them out there in cyberspace on their own, being exposed to all manner of things, almost opening the doors and windows to your home and letting anybody come in, especially if the internet is in the children's bedrooms. That's a big no. The internet should be out of kids' bedrooms. Just saying
in
that's the
living
rule
area
in our home.
Or somewhere where we can see what we're doing. And probably, too, having time limits. Like I saw, visited some friends, and they had an automatic thing. You log on, half an hour, you're logged off.
Yeah.
And if you need extra time, although actually the kid had already worked out how to get around this, I must say.
And they do. Look, they do, obviously. And you know, teens will be teens, and they're going to push the boundaries, but we are still the parents, and we've got to maintain control in this area.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Colette. Good to talk to you. That's Colette Smart from Family Smart. Now, she writes about these topics quite a bit at her blog, which is familyfactor.com.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.